And Book of John, chapter 21. Glad you're here. If you're a visitor, welcome to the Abundant Life Tabernacle. Welcome back anytime. Glad you're here. We're just a church that believes in living right, believe in trying to please the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our heart. John 21 and verse 1. We're going to read all the way down to verse 14, a good bit of reading. And this is very familiar reading to many of you, but it's amazing. Sister Missy didn't know I was going to preach, but today I'm going to preach to you on the preparation of Pentecost. That's what I'm going to preach. It's about being prepared to be inhabited. Amen. John 21 and 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Now, that sounds like a North Carolina term, don't it? I go a-fishing. Amen. That's what he said. They said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught absolutely nothing. They didn't catch nothing all night. Amen. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals, and there the fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples does ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Amen. I'm going to preach to you with the Lord's help on the preparation of Pentecost. This is not the first time that I have visited these scriptures. And a matter of fact, when I went to that Bible school this weekend, and everything I was hearing, I was wanting to preach for some reason. It was just in me. It was so much good stuff. I said, man, I know the church would love to hear this, this, and that. Well, as I began to pray, and even early this morning, had my mind on the Lord told me to preach these verses, and God knows why He wants them preached. But I trust today that you would understand the fact that God is trying to prepare us for something that is greater than what you have ever experienced before. Now, I want to say this before I get into the message, and I may not finish it all today, but this is what you've got to understand. You are never to be, we are to be satisfied in the Lord Jesus. But when it comes to your experiencing God, I hope you are always hungry for more. I hope you're hungry for a greater experience, a greater revelation, not a new revelation as much as an old revelation testified of through the Holy Ghost, that we would understand that God has so much more than what we usually receive when we come to church. We would understand that. And today I want to just touch on this with you today. I've already mentioned this. We are a Pentecostal church, which means we do believe that you, as a believer, when you are born again, you begin to seek for a greater experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talk about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And in that process, God's just cleaning you up. He's dealing with your heart on so many things, and He's wanting to fill that vessel and make you a vessel unto honor and use you for His service, my friend. I want you to understand that. There are three different baptisms that we find in the New Testament church throughout the Bible. We would understand first, when you get born again, you are baptized into Christ and into His body. My friend, this takes place at repentance, at the new birth. It is called the one baptism in the Bible. It is the only baptism that same saves the soul and brings us into the body of Christ. When you get born again, you get baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the initial baptism that we read of in the Bible. But then we talk about water baptism. After you get born again, we know that you, as symbolically, we know because it was the Lord told us to do so in obedience, that we go to the water. And it doesn't matter if it's back there, if you get baptized in a river like I did. Some people got baptized in swimming pools. It's wherever you get baptized at. When you get baptized in water, submersion in water, this does not save you, but it is a testimony and it's a representation of what's already taken place. It's laying down the old man and coming up the new man, Christ Jesus, as a symbol and as a representation as what is taking place in your life spiritually. Now remember, water baptism does not save you. You know that, okay. I've been around a lot of movements. They say, if you're not baptized, you're going to hell. Well, I got the Holy Ghost before I even got baptized in water. Because we got baptized in rivers and it was December. Think about that. You'll put it together. It's too cold. You can receive. Cornelius did in Acts 10. But I believe this. If you're saved, you want to get baptized in water. Amen. You're going to want to do it. And if you backslide, you come back. Well, repent and do your first works over. Let's do it again. Let's let it mean something. Don't let it be something that's so just ritualistic. But follow me today. There's that baptism into Christ. There's water baptism. But then there is spirit baptism, which we know as the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And my friend, you've got to understand this. Baptism into Christ is when the Holy Ghost baptizes you into Christ through the blood. Water baptism is when the preacher baptizes you in water. But Spirit baptism is where Jesus baptized you in the Holy Ghost and you come up speaking in other tongues as the evidence and you are now filled and empowered to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, now you have to understand this. There is no denying that for a Pentecostal. You've come too far too late to tell me that it's not real because I've already experienced that. It is real. I would that everybody in this room never be content if you have not received that. Now, I'm not condemning. What I'm saying is this. You need to seek for the Holy Ghost. You need to see. If you do not seek for it, you're not going to find it. If you do not ask for it, you will not receive it. If you do not hunger and thirst after it, you will not be baptized. It has got to be a conscious decision that this is more important to me than anything else. My friend, it's when you all out just as hard as you can, go after the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and you say, Brother Derek, I don't understand what that is. Neither did the disciples, and they got filled. You think they knew when they went to the upper room, they knew how to speak in tongues beforehand? No, sir. They went up there because Jesus told them to go up there, and that ought to be good enough for you. Why are you seeking? Because Jesus told me to. Why are you wanting it? Because God said it's for me. That's why we do that. So we know this. Follow me today. So we got to be careful when it comes to the Pentecostal message. We often view Pentecost as something that is only spontaneous. And guess what? A lot of times it can be, and it is. But my friend, we have to be careful that we do not make Pentecost mindless, which means like a lot of individuals have done over the years, they have taken the message of Pentecost and have watered it down to a mindless just event that takes place sometime in your life. And my friend, it's as if they're just short of the church or meeting, and they're going there, my friend, just for a single service. But to be filled with the Holy Ghost isn't about just one service. It's about your whole entire life. It is to empower you. It is to strengthen you. It's to let you know that He will approve the world of sin. All these different things the Holy Ghost desires to do in this world, He also desires to do through you. So the Holy Ghost, my friend, is not to be viewed as some Santa Claus that shows up every now and then just to touch us. He's an ever-present help. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. My friend, yes, He's here in this room right now, but He wants to get on the inside of you. He wants to control you. He wants to influence you. When the disciples came out from the upper room, everybody thought that they were drunk, but Peter said, these are not drunken as ye suppose. Peter is but the third hour. But He wants us to understand this. When somebody is full of alcohol, they're underneath the influence of alcohol, and they're doing things that alcohol is dictating in their body. But when a man is full of the Spirit, he is now underneath underneath the influence of the Spirit. He is now dictated by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost wants your tongue. He wants your eyes. He wants your mind. He wants your job. He wants your home. He wants your family. He wants everything about you. He wants to consume you. You said, Brother Derek, I can't live above sin. I'll tell you this, you get full of the Holy Ghost, He won't let you live in sin. He'll deal with you every turn you go. Every time you get down to pray, He'll touch that heart. And my friend, if you backslide, you're going to backslide over the dealings of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You ain't going to let you backslide easy. We don't believe in eternal security, but I'll tell you this. He's going to let you know He's there. David Wilkerson, I've mentioned this to most people and you would understand me. When David Wilkerson was dealing with heroin addicts, and he could not get them to stop. I mean, if you've ever dealt with a drug addict, you would have a small glimpse into what I'm talking about. A drug addict, I mean, you may feel that, of course, they go out and they spend all their money. They almost overdose. They come to you as a preacher, family member, etc. And they come to you and say, I don't want to do that no more. And my friend, as soon as they pray, they're shedding crocodile tears and all that. And all of a sudden, 1 week later, they leave and they go do the same thing. And you're sitting there scratching your head and say, I don't understand. Because they're driven by that drug. They desire that drug is what they do. David Wilkerson, in dealing with drug addicts years ago, he asked Nicky Cruz, who was an ex-heroin addict, he asked him this. He said, how in the world did you stay off of heroin? He said, I kept going back, David. I kept going back. He said, but the day I got the Holy Ghost, I found out the Holy Ghost is more addictive than drugs. Amen. May seem like Chinese to some. Well, experience it. You have a little bit of no. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Hear me today, my friend. We've got to understand there's a greater experience for you. Pentecost is a way of life. It is not just a Sunday option. It is something that must be sought after. John Piper says this. He said, it is no accident that Luke tells us in Luke 3:21 that while Jesus was praying, that the Holy Spirit descended on Him like a dove. Or at the outpouring on the day of Pentecost. It was at the climax of a 10-day prayer meeting. Or in Acts 4:31 when the church had prayed and the place where they were gathered was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Prevailing prayer is the pathway to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, which means this. You've got to seek after it. You've got to pray for it. You said, Brother Derek, I haven't been saved very long. Start seeking for it. Start asking God to clean you up. Start asking God to show you what things are in your life. They're in the crevices. There are reservations that you have. And people don't see everything, but God sees it. And He'll begin to deal with that heart, my friend. You've got to seek after it. And my friend, hear me today, my friend. You say, you've got to do this. You've got to seek after it. Now, my two major concerns today is this. First one, the reason I'm preaching this message is this. Believers who are seeking for the baptism without understanding, really, they don't really know what they're seeking for. We're so guilty in the holiness movement to tell somebody, you need to seek after the Holy Ghost. You need to seek after the kingdom of God. And they don't even know what they're seeking for. Yes. Be like me telling you, go find this. I ain't going to tell you nothing it looks like, but go find it. And then you're out there, well, I can't find it. I'm saying, no, duh, because you don't even know what it is. Hear me, my friends. Adults, hear me. Moms, dads, grandparents, everybody in this room, Sunday school teachers. Don't you get mad at young people when they don't understand what it is. You've got to show them how to find it. And you can't show them how to find something that you ain't found yourself. Hear me. It's like a man that's panning for gold. And he said that he's done it his whole life. I may take some advice, but if you're over here and you're over here, you never panned for gold before, you can't give too much advice in that area. Yes, there's areas we can advise in, but I'm telling you what we need. We need the Holy Ghost to fill us, to overwhelm us, to touch us, to strengthen us. My friend, people have to know what they're seeking for. And the second reason I'm preaching this message is this, is that many that receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost don't even understand what they've received. Don't you think that when somebody gets the Holy Ghost, they are completely mature and they know everything? Hey, you get to heaven one day in your new body, you might get that then. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, He's there to start leading you and guiding you. It is an empowerment, so seek for it. That is my heart's cry. That's not condemning. And I'm telling you, from those that are filled to those that are not filled. And if you're here today and you don't even know what being filled means, come to me and talk to me. It's the idea we've got to seek. So the reason for preaching this, I want to encourage you to seek for the fullness of Pentecost. There is unmeasured potential in your life that when you get filled, God's going to show you things. My friend, I've only been saved 8 years, and I'm telling you, it works. If you told me, I said this before, if you told me I'd be here pastoring 8 years ago, I told you I don't even know how to read the Bible a whole lot. I've just got saved. But I feel like I stand here today and I know I'm in the will of God because He's led me. Has the Holy Ghost ever told me no? A lot of times. Has He ever told me yes? A few. He will talk to you and guide you. So everybody, if you're struggling in this room today, I'm telling you, seek for the Holy Ghost. If you say, I can't be consistent, let the Holy Ghost empower you. My friend, hear me today. We've got to be careful that we don't act like we've got it all figured out with the Holy Ghost. Let Him deal and move as He sees fit. Just ask Him to fill you, my friend. And He will. It may be instantaneous. It may be a process. But you've got to hunger and thirst after. Now hear me today. The preparation of Pentecost is this. Before you can get to Pentecost, you've got to be prepared for it. You've got to know what it is. You've got to know what you're seeking after. And my friend, have you ever heard this verse in John 14:3 that says this, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You ever heard that verse? What is he talking about? He's talking about heaven, isn't he? You know how excited we get about the place that God is preparing in heaven? I've heard somebody say the other day, God's building my mansion. I said, I don't want to bank on that too much. Amen. Study the Bible. You probably are the mansion. Hear me. It's a dwelling place. We'll talk later. Anyhow, my friend, hear me today. We've got to understand this, that when it comes to this, we get so excited that, look, God's prepared heaven for us. I can't wait. This is so wonderful. And my friend, half 90% of hymnals I hear sometimes is about dying and going to heaven. And I'm thinking to myself, yes, that's great and good, but there's something else to this, my friend. Heaven is not the only place that Jesus has prepared. Oh, follow me. You get so excited about dying and going to heaven. I'm excited right now. I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to get to church. I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to pray. I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to read. I can't wait to preach. I can't wait to testify. I can't wait to sing. Why is that? Because it's from glory to glory. What He's going to give us up there? This is the earnest of the Spirit. This is the down payment of heaven. It's the Holy Ghost inside of you. It's real. It's a testimony. And it's something that's going to keep us. My friend, He's also prepared a place, not only in heaven, but there's been a place prepared in God for you. Think about this. Follow me. This is what God showed me about 6 months or a year ago, something like that. I can't remember. Not only has God prepared a place in heaven, but there's a place that you can have access to right now. Nobody in this room right now can just go to heaven because you feel like it. And if you do, I know you'll write a book about it and we'll find out something faulty maybe. You know, everybody dying going to heaven and other people dying and going to hell. It's just a mess. I mean, they didn't want to write about it. They come back and they sold 1 million copies and come to find out. I exaggerated, you know. I didn't really fish with Jesus. Hear me. Nobody in this room can go to heaven just because you feel like it. Nobody right now, you can seek all you want unless God takes you out of here and unless you're like a rarity like Paul and you go into the third heaven just for a few moments, my friend. Hear me today, my friend. But in Jesus Christ, in the Spirit of God, there's a place that I can go right now. There's a place that He's prepared for us. When He went to the cross, He died so that we can have full access to God in our worship and in everything we do. My friend, quit just thinking about heaven. Think about getting into the Spirit. Think about pulling apart the carnal flesh. Think about stepping into the presence of God. Think about being infilled with the Spirit. And my friend, I'm telling you, you get that earnest of the Spirit. That down payment's right here. The Spirit of God. It's the way that it's designed, that there's a place prepared for you in God. And it's called being filled with the Holy Ghost. Seek for it. Now, God ain't condemning you. He's telling you, I love you. And come, I'm going to show you this. You've got to follow me, and I may take a little time. But when you leave here today, if you're discouraged, you're going to find out, oh, there's hope for me to get in the Spirit. You'll find out, hear me today, this is so important. Before, now, follow me. When Jesus died at Calvary, and many of you know this, all you Bible scholars know this. When Jesus died at Calvary, follow me, we know the story that He resurrected. He showed Himself to His disciples. We read in John chapter 21, this was the third time that He showed Himself to His disciples. But we know after this, that Acts chapter 1 testifies to us that Jesus just didn't just go back to heaven and leave Him alone.
alone. But we know that Jesus tarried 40 days after His resurrection. My friend, why do you think He tarried here 40 days? Do you think that He just felt like He was bored and He wanted to eat fish one more time with the disciples? Do you think He wanted to go by the temple and look at it one more time with the veil that's been... No, that was not the reason He stayed here. Jesus tarried for 40 days to prepare hearts for a place in the upper room. Before He went to prepare a place up there, He prepared a place that we could have access to right here. I'm feeling better than you are. Before He began to work up there, He's worked right here first. Before He started talking about your mansion, if you want to believe that, He wanted you to understand this. Now, I've got a place for you right here. Before He left, He had to prepare the disciples for a place, and that place was the upper room, and that's where Pentecost took place. My friend, hear me, and He told 500 that's where He was going, and only 120 would show up. Think about it. 500 saw it and heard it. You got 120 said, I believe it. Isn't that much like the church world? It's just about any church. You always got some that believe and some that don't. Maybe some of them went and said 10 days is too long to pray. They didn't know how long they're going to pray. Say, if God, you know, if God comes today, we're going to receive it. But tomorrow I've got the ball game. I've got to go to it. You think that Peter, Paul, not Paul, but you think Peter and John and those different disciples and Mary went to the upper room and said, well, tomorrow night the game comes on. I'm seeking, but we got to push pause on this prayer meeting, friends. Huh. I'm so adamant about getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe you ought to put everything in your life on pause that you can until you get it. Call me radical or call me just hungry. When I got saved, and many of you know this, when I began seeking for the Holy Ghost, I took the TV out of my room. Was this TV a sin? No, it's plastic and a screen. But my time was consumed. When you're seeking for the Holy Ghost, I turned my phone off 3 days at a time. I pray. I'm not bragging on me, but this one, I just, please, you've got to follow me. There's no bragging on nobody. I'm sure there's many that could testify in this room to a hunger that they had. My friend, yeah, that may not be the case for you, but it was for me. I wanted it, and I got saved, called to preach, and filled with the Holy Ghost in 1 month. And my friend, it has nothing to do with me, but if you hunger and thirst, ye shall be filled. If you have a hunger and a desire for the Holy Ghost, He's going to come in, and He's going to inhabit you. God, give us a hunger once again that everything else is put on pause. Yes, you may have to work a job. Yes, you got a family. But my friend, is it more important to you than doing this? Is it more important to you than eating a meal? My friend, how hungry are you for it? And the desperation has to be at the surface if you're going to be filled. Jesus took 40 days to make these disciples desperate. Follow me. Many of us are like these disciples. There was an expectancy in the heart of every disciple about the ministry of Jesus. But it's amazing that every time that Jesus wanted to talk about the cross, they would say, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. It ain't worth all that now, Jesus, you know. I got to go to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me. Peter saw, Jesus, I know You're the Son of God. I just said that a few moments ago, but you ain't talking right. God, why would You die? So they had such an expectancy, but there was only one side of Christ that they were in love with at first. They loved the miracles. They loved the fishes and the loaves. But my friend, just as much you love the miracles of Jesus, before you get filled, you're going to love the cross of Jesus. Just as much you love blinded eyes being opened, you're going to have to love the fact that He's going to go to the whipping post. Just as much as God may do some miraculous in your life, there may be time that He says, take up your cross and follow Me. That is so important, my friend. We only want to embrace a portion of church, a portion of Christ our times, and Jesus got something to say to you. Get thee behind Me, Satan. I'm going to Calvary. Hear me. Now, as we look at this, we got to understand, they find themselves striving, and the disciples find themselves striving against everything that is leading Him to the cross, my friend. But Jesus had to pay the price. And when they see that He was so determined to go to the cross, they said something just like this. They said this, we'll go with You. You ever seen that? It's hard to find a balance, isn't it? It's either don't go to the cross or I'm going to die with you. Jesus says, no, you just listen to me and do My will. Find that media him and let the Lord be the author and finisher of your faith here. So after the death of Jesus, we find the disciples, they're scattered, they're confused, and they're feeling worthless. And my friend, many here today, you may be among this company where you say, I know that Jesus is Savior. I'm born again. I know that His promises are for me. I know that He's cleansed me. I know that I'll embrace Calvary. I know that there's miracles. But you don't understand this, and you're discouraged and confused just like the disciples. Maybe it was an event that took place in your life. Maybe it's something you don't understand. Maybe it's something that you don't see clearly in Scripture. But you're like the disciples. They're sitting there. The door is closed. They're sitting there in the room. They don't understand. They know that Jesus has more for them. They know that the Comforter is coming. But where is He at right now? Follow me. Jesus had just paid the price so they could go into the kingdom. And the disciples, if you don't mind me putting it this way, are looking into the door into the kingdom. And they're so hurt and confused that they won't go in. Just follow me. You know how many people come to the threshold of the kingdom, but they never go in? I wonder how many times somebody came up to the threshold of the Holy Ghost baptism, spiritually speaking, follow me. And instead of saying, look, I am going to take on this radical hunger and I'm going to go in there, we stand there and we say, well, I didn't get it before. I'm not going in. These disciples are sitting there. My friends, hear me. The price has been paid to go into the kingdom. And you've got to hear me today. The price has still been paid. And still today, you still, if you so desire, there is no limitations to you in Christ. If you sell out with your whole heart, there's nothing there that can keep you from doing the will of God if you'll make your mind up. There's nothing that will keep you from receiving if you make your mind up. But my friend, the price has been paid. What are you going to do about it? Hear me. The price has been paid. After the way was open, they did not feel that they could go in. Oh, but what a tragedy that is. The price has been paid, and this is the idea. They will not go in. Maybe the disciples felt miserable and frustrated and bitter. My friend, maybe they sat there and said, maybe we should not have ran. I know Jesus will not accept me now. But this is what they did, and follow me. What they did, and this is what we do. Follow me. John 21 and 3 in our text, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. So the result of their failures and lack of spiritual understanding, they said this, I'm going to go back fishing. Now you would remember that a few years before this was the starting point for Peter. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. And that was just a few years before that, and it followed now. Here it is. They go back to fishing, and this is what they're doing. They have rendered themselves as second class citizens. Do you know the devil knows that some of you, he knows he's not going to get you to backslide with cigarettes and alcohol and drugs. He knows that. And he knows some of you that you've got enough doctrine inside of your mind. You can quote enough scripture. He knows he's not going to get you just to go openly do something bad. He knows that, okay? The devil's a lot smarter than what we're going to give him credit for. He knows that some of you will never, ever, ever think about cheating on your spouse. He knows that. Why waste my time, the devil would say. I know that. He walks circumspectly. He knows that most of you probably even say, look, I know they're saved. But what the devil tempts us in is Pentecost is this. If he gets you to render yourself as a second-class citizen and that's all you are, he's just as content at times. Follow me. The devil knows that God needs Peter in the upper room. How does he know that? He knows what he has invested in the 12 apostles. So what the devil's going to do is this, spiritually, follow me. Why sit there and try to tempt them that Jesus isn't real? What about this? What if I can prevent them from doing the will of God? Oh my, hear me. A lot of times we think, well, I'm not a sinner. And I know I don't smoke, I don't drink. But if you don't do the will of God, you're not a brother or sister. That's what he said. He said, who's my brother, my sister, my mother? He said, those that do the will of God. Is that not what he said? I'm glad I ain't making this up. Amen. Follow me. So this is what the devil does. The disciples felt unworthy. They had sat there and made themselves, look, I'll just be a tithe payer. Let me follow me. I'll just work a job. I'll just sing a hymnal. I'll just participate here and there. And all of us could say, we wish we had stood on ground better just like the disciples. But here is their fishing. They've rendered themselves as second-class citizens. And God cannot use them like He wants to use them because they need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Quit rendering yourself as just a good second-class citizen. I'm patriotic. I pledge allegiance. I pay my tithe. God's good. God is good. Are you doing the will of God? You say, how do I do the will of God? Step one, get filled. That's what it says. He says, go and get filled. He wouldn't let the disciples go preach anywhere until they got filled. Follow me. Don't you leave Jerusalem yet, Peter. You ain't worth too much right now. I know your integrity. I know you got, but you keep putting your foot in your mouth and you're cutting off ears. You need to be filled with the Spirit. This is the Bible. I'm not making this up. You say, well, the 12 apostles are special, but so are you. You're special. Make you feel better. Okay, we're all special in the eyes of God. Look at me. Hear me. Here it is. They regulated themselves to a second-class citizen. God can't use them like this. You have to overcome this mentality. Before you are anything, you are a Christian. I've said that before. They've got to understand, I've got to get to the upper room. But they're hurt. They're wounded. They have no desire. Let's just fish a little bit. Oh, got a bite. I don't care how many fish you catch, Peter. It ain't the will of God for you to be there. Well, the wind's just right. Well, it ain't time to go sailing. It's time to get filled. Well, they got half-price tickets. I don't care about that. It's time to get filled. That's what we have to understand. Notice this. John 21:1 says this. And then Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed Him Himself. This is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself unto His disciples after that He was risen from the dead. Jesus has a way of meeting us, doesn't He? Aren't you glad He didn't just go to the disciples and say, you sorry rascals, Peter. 2 years ago, a few years ago, I got you from doing that. And you're saying, look, let's blow the dust off the boat and let's go fishing. We've got to make some money, don't we? Now, I'm not too hard on these disciples. Follow me. I know it don't sound like that. But I found myself here before. We know that Peter had wept bitterly. He had asked Him to forgive him. We know that, my friend, as they're sitting here, they know that Jesus is alive, but they're just fishing. They didn't think Jesus was dead. They knew He was alive. Let's go fishing. I'm going to ask you, if you're lukewarm or indifferent to the Spirit of God, why are you sitting there? You know Jesus is alive. I wouldn't argue with that. Matter of fact, Jesus was on earth 40 days. He hadn't went back yet. He's still there. But yet they still find themselves fishing. So notice this. This conversation with the disciples was urgent. It was going to determine if there was going to be a church age or even an upper room. If Peter and the disciples did not go to the upper room and get filled with the Spirit, what do you think the repercussions would have been? Anybody got a Bible? Why don't you touch that real quick? You wouldn't have that. Would you? If Peter didn't get filled and didn't preach a message to 3,000, and then we know that as that almost wildfire as it burns throughout the book of Acts, if all of that didn't happen, my friend, it would have been a tragedy. But just like today, I feel that the urgency for some of you to leave here convinced of who you are is just as important. Who are you? And don't just give your name. God knows that. What is your spiritual identity? Hear me. He has to convince them. How many believes we live in an urgent hour? Follow me. Signs of the times. Homosexuality. Abortion. I can name thing after thing. Situation. The things in the Middle East. ISIS. All these different things. The things that are taking place in our own country. My friend, I'm telling you, we live in a very urgent hour. And Jesus is trying to convince you that you're more than just a fisherman. You're more than just somebody that works a job. And if He cannot convince you that, my friend, the furtherance of God's will in your life will come to a halt. Now hear me. There have been people that have come to church. The Holy Ghost is trying to convince them that they leave church and never get convinced, and they're reaping havoc in their families today. How many? We put things in tomorrow all of the time. I'll pray tomorrow. I'll get saved tomorrow. I'll get filled tomorrow. I'll get filled next week. I'll do this next week. And the whole time we're living in an urgent hour, and God's trying to touch you and awaken your spirit to the reality of the day we live. Now follow me. I will try not to be much longer. Notice this. He has to convince them, or there will be nobody in the upper room. Jesus did not just come with a heavy hand, but notice His gentleness with the disciples. He comes to the shore. Hey, got any fish out there? Don't you like the long answer they give them back? No. Kind of sound irritated. Nothing out here. Save your time. Keep your boat in shore. It's fine. Any fish? No. Notice how gentle Jesus is. Now, we have this mentality, and I hope you don't, but I have to. You have to fight it. That when people are not where you think they should be spiritually, you get a little frustrated. Now, you may not understand that as much as I. I mean, I'm sure, Brother Glenn, when I say frustrated, it's all right to get angry and sin not. You know that, don't you? Jesus could have come up to these apostles, and He's already in His resurrected body. He could have caused a wave to push Him on shore. Lay Him in the sand. Peter, look at me, son. You know I died, don't you? Yeah. Hadn't I forgiven you? Yeah. Don't you know that there's something to be done? You know, I hadn't even went to heaven yet. Why are you fishing? Well, Lord, you know, I'm confused. I don't know. I've let you down, and I don't feel like I'm worthy to be filled. You know, I'm not worthy to do. No, Jesus didn't do that. Don't you, you know? We have to be careful as Christians that we don't look at somebody else. They may not be where we want them to be spiritually, but God may be working on them. So here it is. Notice this. Peter, elder, he calls for them, and basically, let me follow my lingo here. Follow my language. What Jesus is saying here is pretty much this. Look. I'm not going to take you to church today, Peter. Y'all just come here. Let's sit down. Let's just talk. How many knows the Spirit of God wants to talk to us? Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door, not who will open up. I'll come in and sup with them. He wants to talk to you. Aren't you glad He ain't looking at us? No, yeah. He said, look, I just want to talk to you. Listen, I make a lot of sense. How many knows Jesus makes sense? Even when you're wrong, He still makes sense. He makes sense. So follow me. Here it is. He calls them to the shore. He's just simply going to talk to them. And I like this man to man. Actually, the son of man to man. You know, my dad used to do that with me. I keep on keeping on. He'd be like, come here, boy. Look, I love you, but you can listen to me right here. All right? This is what you're going to do. Shut your mouth and do it. And 99% of the time, I'd just say, yes, sir. And the other 1% of the time, I learned to say, yes, sir. You follow me? So in compassion, Jesus just pulls him to the shore. Isn't this amazing? They come to shore and there's fish already on the fire. They ain't caught nothing all night. He had to let them catch some fish. And here it is. He got fish on the fire. Don't even say he had a fishing pole. He just has it. You know, it's amazing. There's fish on the fire. The coals are hot. He calls them. He begins to remind them that they are still His children. No matter how they have ran, no matter all that has happened. Notice this, my friend. Children, do you have anything to eat? You ever felt like a failure before and you heard the voice of God still call you? Hey, son, how you doing? Come here. Now, I know some of them say, well, oh, no, you're not a son no more if you make a failure. Come here, son. Come here. Before I do this, I want you to talk. I'm going to talk to you. All right? You need to listen. This is important. Jesus is talking to the children. You have anything to eat? And it's almost like, are you serious? You know, we got the fish. He reminded Peter of their first encounter, John 21:6. He said unto them, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find it. If I was Peter, that would have rang the bell to me. Catching all them fish. Here it is. Jesus sat down. He communed with them. What did He say in John 21:12? Jesus said unto them, what? Come and what? Come and dine. You ever heard that? Come and dine. The Master called it. Come and dine. But Him the former, everybody remembers. Come and dine. That's what He did here. Notice what He did. He asked in John 21:15, I like this. Before you can go any further in the kingdom of God, you got to listen. 21:15. So when He had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He didn't just say, lovest thou me more than these? Was He looking at the other disciples? Was He looking at the boat? Maybe He's looking at the boat. You love me more than you love that boat, Peter? Do you love me? Hear me. He had to get Peter to understand this. God asks us questions, and you've got to answer them. You ever had God ask you a question? It's amazing how He's done that to me many times. He'd ask me a question. What are you doing here? Hey, what you doing? Where you at, Adam? What you doing in this cave, Elijah? Hey, Peter, do you love me? Until you answer that question, you're not going to go any further. So God, as I was praying about this, and you take it or leave it, God's asking you a question. Do you love me? And how much? Notice what he says after this. He tells Peter this. You've got to give up your life in verse 18. But this is the I won't even focus on that too much. I want to follow here in point 6 and I'll close here in a moment. John 21 and 20, then Peter turning about seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on the breast and said at his supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Isn't that just like us? Jesus finds them out in a boat. He calls them to shore. He calls them children. He says he loves them. He tells Peter, he takes Peter aside. Simon, do you love me? Yes, I do. We do my will. You're going to lose your life. And here Peter is looking around saying, what about him? It's amazing when we bring up subjects like salvation, sanctification, and the Holy Ghost, we have a tendency to look at our neighbor and say, what about them? Somebody needs the Holy Ghost, look at their neighbor. Well, they ain't sanctified. How do you know? Come on now. Who are you? Come off the white horse and let's join ourselves in the kingdom of God. Welcome to earth. If you're not filled, God wants to fill you. So this is what we have to understand. I'm about to close here as my wife goes to the piano. Acts 2 and 1 says this, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place. Here it is, my friend. They are in an upper room. Jesus has prevailed. Now, you've got to follow me. Stand to your feet. I know some are tired. Stand to your feet. Come on. Let's get to our feet. Let's get our minds on heaven. I do trust that you've come here today to receive from God. I have a word from heaven. It's up to you to receive it. And I do not say that arrogantly, but it's up to you to take the truth, do something with it. You've got to. And that's from the pulpit to the pew. Today, if you're not saved, God intends for you to be born again.